It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
I have a question for you. What have you got to gain by listening to the Ray Appleton program? About $25,000. Gain. That's the word. G-A-I-N. Gain. Text it to 95819. And if you get the $100 bill back in the mail, won't be in the mail, but I'm using that as an expression. That means you're in the drawing for the $25,000. Cool. Hey, if you are with us only part of the day yesterday, or you did not hear the show at all, you got to go to the podcast, KMJNow.com, my name, and listen to the noon hour. I think it's the only thing that we posted from my show yesterday. Dr. Joseph Penbarra, economist extraordinaire. Wow. He really hit the mark in talking about our future and the present status of the giant resignathon. That's what it is, a resignathon going across the country. People are quitting their jobs in droves. Many of them are just not even going back to work, as you know. Now, the jobs are there, and I've got a kind of a iffy report about that today that I'll share with you. But the jobs are there. We just don't have the people that want to work. When Trump took over, there weren't any jobs, and there were tens of thousands of people who wanted to work. What's going on? And he fixed that. With the highest level of unemployment with African Americans, Latinos, and women in American history, only to be destroyed by the Democratic administration currently in charge of the country and their great social experiment that's ruining us. But with all of the subtleties that Dr. Penbarra has, he laid blame exactly where it needed to be in a logical way, and you got to hear that segment. You've got to hear that segment. Very brilliant man. How many times has Katie Couric been caught editing a story to a narrative that more suits her, more suits Katie Couric, than the actual truth of the story? Dateline 2016, the interview with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, regardless of her politics, by the way, Justice Ginsburg, the late Justice Ginsburg, I still feel she was a very brilliant lady. The movie, the docudrama about her life is fabulous, and I recommend it to everybody, conservative or liberal. But, you know, Katie Couric asked the justice about the athletes that take a knee during the Star Spangled Banner, during that time where they're supposed to be paying tribute to the country that gave them all of the breaks that they've got to make them millions of dollars. And the justice hit it right on the head, acknowledging, saying that they've got to acknowledge this country that, you know, gave their grandparents and their parents a chance to raise this great athlete that's earning millions of dollars a year. And she was brilliant. I got to say that about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. But of course, Katie Couric left all of that out and created a response from the judge that was somewhat tepid. I've got the story. I got a little bit of sound. Fox News busted Katie Couric about this issue of the athletes taking the knee and the response from Justice Ginsburg. Even though she does all of this, Katie Couric, in some circles, her star still shines brightly. She's a liar. She's a fraud. She needs to be taken down hard, and the sooner the better. And there is this misleading story today about U.S. unemployment. The claims in the news, and the claim is that the claims today are, they've fallen to the lowest level since the pandemic. Now, that might lead you to believe that whoop-de-doo, it's over, kumbaya, yay. No, because many people have resigned and left the labor market, so they're not counted. You know, they're not working. They're not taking unemployment claims, but they're getting their stipends from elsewhere. So that's not accurate at all. Let's get real, you know, and tell the story the way it should be told. And what is the TSA going to do with 40% of their employees who are unvaccinated? And the deadline for firing is November the 22nd. Do you think 60% of the TSA workforce can take care of a nation during the holidays, also upcoming? Yeah, keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. And the story of a federal judge in Washington. This judge has repeatedly sentenced people who stormed the U.S. Capitol to more prison time than the prosecutors are asking for or that the law dictates. And is saying even those who are not violent, who did nothing but just walked along for the tour of the of the Capitol, they need to be facing the same harsh consequences for joining in on this unprecedented assault. The judge's words, not mine. Now, let's look at those major cities last summer and the summer before that burned in comparison. I realize the Capitol is a sacred place, but so is that little sporting goods store opened up by the family in Minneapolis. The non-white family, I will add. That's in ashes as a result of the left deciding to change the narrative even after Trump was beaten at the polls. That little sporting goods store is just as sacred to that American family of color than what's going on in Washington. Four people died January the 6th, the day of the so-called insurrection in Washington. Three of them, though, died of natural causes. Only one was shot dead. You know that. How many people died in these bloody, fiery riots of Seattle and Portland and Chicago and Minneapolis? And how many of those deaths have gone unaccounted for? How about all but two? Yeah. Speaking of Chicago, the Chicago Police Union chief has called on all of the officers to ignore, you know what I'm going to say next, the vaccine mandate. So what will Chicago do if 50% of their police get fired? And the White House, oh, brave here, the White House is taking steps to address the gas shortage. Gee whiz, Mr. President, why do we have a gas shortage? Weren't we energy independent when Donald Trump was president? Jen Psaki, the press secretary, says, well, there's a gas shortage all over the world. That is not true. She's a liar. She's doing Katie Couric's work on that statement. In the United Kingdom, a little bit in Canada, here in the U.S., we have these shortages created by, not consumption, by human beings making bad political decisions. That's what that's all about. And again, you know it. Now, the California bullet train, oh God, high-speed rail, the latest dilemma, you want to hear this? The debate now, I don't know whether to laugh or cry, there's a new fundamental debate that's emerged over the battle on high-speed rail in California, and that is, should it be high-speed or not? And if it's not, that is going to significantly downgrade the project and the effort. So here we go. You know, creating the world's most expensive normal train, if I can say that rather awkwardly, in history, by the way. That's the possibility here. Aren't you so glad you voted for that way back when, you know? And we talked about this yesterday. The WHO, not Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend, the WHO, the World Health Organization, led by a doctor of philosophy. Yeah. Still trying to get Beijing's favor and attention to gain entrance to a few areas to either prove or disprove the coronavirus evolved from those areas. And now they're saying this is going to be our last chance, to determine the origins of SARS-CoV-2. And Beijing is barking and not giving them any space when it comes to investigating these bat caves, the wildlife area, where they want to look to either prove or eliminate from the argument that the coronavirus is located in those geographies. And the UN, it's probably true, is announcing that North Korea is at the risk of starving the entire country because of the severe COVID restrictions that you-know-who imposed upon them. Now, this has been veiled. It's been kept away from view of the Western eyes. But already, 40% of the entire Korean population, North Korean population, is on the verge of starving. Now, is this something we in the United States should involve ourselves with? Should we do something about this? In thinking about it, long and hard, putting all politics aside, I would have to say the answer is probably yes. You know, to what degree? I don't know. What can we afford? You know, we're spending so much money. Can we dive in and do humanitarian work around the world like we normally do? You know, I've suggested because of the current administration that humanitarian work needs to be cut back, which, you know, that'll even give a worse picture of the U.S. to other nations around the world. But, you know, what can we do? And, you know, I love my history, any history, and this is a great story. We're going back 2,700 years, way before Christ, right? We're going to the salt mines in Austria. And by the way, that salt mine that was examined from 20, you know, the end product from 2,700 years ago, 3,000 years later, it's still producing salt. in Austria. That's what it does. But what was discovered about the prehistoric men that worked 2,700 years ago in that salt mine in Austria? What did they have that they would indulge themselves with way before Christ? And they had a lot of it. And I'm talking about food and drink. This will blow your mind, especially in the way that it was discovered. Think about it. Well, how would you know a 27-year-old man went, well, you know what a bear does in the woods, right? These workers did it in the salt mine, and there was still enough to examine there and determine what they ate. And what they ate is, hey, many of you enjoy it to this day, you know, or at least you want to. So, yeah, you're going to love that one. I'm done. 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. I do welcome you to the Ray Appleton program. Soon, on the 19th, to celebrate its 34th anniversary, going into our 35th year, they said it couldn't be done, and I'm still doing it, you know. Be back in a minute.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Today's Daily Buzz question at KMJNow.com is, have you been affected by the supply chain issues? Oh, you want to talk? Is that question for me? Man, let us know, KMJNow.com. And the Daily Buzz is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. I mentioned that I needed the tiniest repair for my dishwasher. 2.5 months to get the parts out of China. God almighty. I couldn't believe it. You go 2.5 months without a dishwasher when you're used to a dishwasher? You know, it's crazy. I didn't like it. And I told you about the two guitars I've got hanging out somewhere that I ordered in April. One of them is still in this boat off the coast of New York, where it has been for months. And they're waiting for the pier to open up so they can unload the pallet and, I mean, the pod, and get my guitar out of it and put it on a rail car to Chicago, and then Chicago to FedEx, FedEx to Los Angeles, Los Angeles to me. It's a double neck guitar, a 12 and a 4, that I've been waiting for forever. And the other is a gift I'm giving to a young virtuoso in Fresno who plays the mandolin. That one, finally, after ordering it in April, is on its way to me. Both of these are coming from Liverpool, where they were made by hand by a friend of mine, acquaintance. So, I mean, the supply line issues, supply chain, I don't even mean to get into this. I mean, every facet. I don't even want to go to a grocery store because I'm not going to like what I don't see. I mean, are you seeing? Let's talk about it for a little bit. Have you been grocery shopping? Has this hit grocery stores yet in Central California? I order everything. You know, this is why I have two garages full of Amazon boxes and other boxes that you wouldn't believe. I put a thing up on Facebook about the other day saying, what do I do? And there's a great guy that's going to come to my rescue this Saturday and, you know, recycle them. But I literally cannot park any of my cars in the garage. I got three cars, you know, and I've got a big double garage, and I have a carriage house from the original home when it was built 101 years ago, where they kept the horse and the carriage, and I can stick another car in that too. So I got room for five cars, but it's all boxes now. So anyway, I'd be curious, as we talk about a number of things today, if you're having some supply chain problems, you know, if you're having problems getting, if you're in the service industry, if you fix cars or refrigerators or whatever, getting the parts, is that ridiculous or what? And are the stores now showing with some vacant aisles? Shortages there, like at the beginning of the pandemic? I'd love to know. Because remember, I'm Mr. Caveman. I can't leave my house except to come down here and work. You know, although that could be fixed tomorrow. And we may have found my antibodies. You just can't go to the antibody store and buy them, you know? 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. I don't care where you are. You know, Central California or all over the country. I mean, I just would love to know how the supply chain stuff is hitting you. Now, the big laugh of the morning. High-speed rail. There's a new and fundamental debate that has emerged over the battle for high-speed rail, that whole project in California that's been going on for years and years and is costing more money than, you know, yeah. This could significantly downgrade the trouble effort. And what is the debate about? Should the trains even be high speed? That's what the debate is about. Now, the conversation with the Democrats in the State Assembly is they want to have, amid all of these negotiations, whether to release the $4 billion in bond money for the project on the issue of should it be high speed or not. So this is going to be the world's most expensive non-speed train to nowhere. So the California High Speed Rail Authority says it, you know, needs that money to continue construction beyond this summer. Newsom included it in his state budget, but the negotiations between the administration and the legislature have stalled, and they're hoping to reach an agreement when the legislature returns for session in January. But it's the latest setback, the argument over whether it should be high speed or not. Now, this thing was expected to be completed last year for a total cost of about $33 billion. And today, the vision of shuttling passengers between L.A. and San Francisco in less than 3 hours is beyond a distant dream. It ain't going to happen. I've said from the beginning, this will never be built. And I've been right so far. I mean, the first leg of rideable track connecting two cities is in the Central Valley. And that's, you know, that's start until at least the startup for that, you know, using it is going to be, what, 2029? That's when the project's costs will have ballooned to just under $100 billion. That's not what you voted for. Little political will seems to exist to either kill the project or, you know, give it some more resources. They're just stuck. You know, I mean, it's leaving the whole construction to continue without a long-term plan. And at the center of the latest debate is how soon to electrify the line, which rail officials say is necessary to make the train high speed. The whole idea, forgive me if I'm wrong, of this project that you voted for was to enter into an agreement to build a high-speed bit of transportation between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And now we don't even, it's not going to go between Los Angeles and San Francisco, we know that. And now we don't even know if it's going to be high-speed. I see we've got some callers on the supply chain issue. Stay there, because I want to know, and I'll be right with you. But the fact that they're bringing up the issue of speed now, I mean, oh my God. But the current plans call for the first rideable leg to be from Bakersfield to Merced. Ooh, wow. You know, where passengers would ideally be able to hop on another transit line and then head to San Francisco's Bay Area after that in a roundabout way. You know, rail officials and local transit agencies plan to partner to create a station in Merced where riders could get off the high-speed train, if it's high-speed, and get onto another system. But the construction is not fully funded. And now we don't even know if it's going to be high speed or not. I mean, there's more here, but I mean, come on, that's the issue. High speed, it may not be. Unbelievable. But I think we all could have predicted this. I want to talk about some supply chain stuff right now. Let's talk to Jeff. Jeff, you're on KMJ. What are you seeing out there?
Hey, good morning, Ray. I'm in the replacement window business, right? And, dual panes. And you wouldn't believe the setback. So typically it was 3 to 4 weeks of turnaround time when you place an order for a customer. Well, now we can't get screens. We can't get the rolled aluminum, glass, vinyl. It's all 3 months out now. So purchase it today and we'll put windows in for you next year. It's not getting any better.
And how are the customers taking to that?
Just like you think they would. Not very well. I mean, who wants to wait 3 months for anything, let alone, you know, something you're getting excited about?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, they can't get workers to come back to the factory, or they want more money, and then you got trucking, and then you got supplies. It's just, and it's industry-wide, not just one company or another. It's just taking a beating, and, you know.
Jeff, you sound like a very smart guy. Who do you blame this on? Why are we having this problem?
Well, they put so much emphasis on vaccination and shots, and they let everything else just go. And you know, they figured, well, we're paying all these people all this money, and they'll just want to go back to work, and things will go back to normal, and they'll get back to the Trump economy, and everything will just reset itself. Well, it didn't, and it's not. and they have no clue what to do. Newsom's clueless. He's so worried about his job, he forgot about everything, and they're fighting school battles.
Yeah.
They should be looking at businesses and getting them back on track and getting people in the door.
Yeah.
You know?
I couldn't disagree with a word you've said, brother. Good luck to you. I hope you see some light at the end of that forest soon, somehow, some way. Dennis, high-speed rail. That ain't going to be high speed, most likely. Talk to me.
It was never going to be high speed before the damn thing passed. I read it over all the text twice, and there was no way on God's green earth they were ever going to be able to accomplish that.
Well, that's what people are saying over their shoulder now, yeah. You know? I mean, what exactly did you see that said that to you?
All you had to do is read it initially and know a little about the topography. For instance, the Tehachapi Loop you might be familiar with.
Sure.
That was owned by a guy that kept his Lincoln in my hangar here in Salinas when he flew his turboprop in. And as well as the topography through the I-5 pass there above Wheeler Ridge,
yep.
Being that it's real soft with a lot of water content. That's why they have the mudslides and whatnot when they get any kind of moisture. Because the soil won't hold together, and trying to run a high-speed rail track through I-5 through the pass is ridiculous.
Well, when this
in
thing
any
was
event, getting back to where it is now,
yeah,
I find it interesting that one possible weird solution, particularly compared to about how many more millions of dollars is going to be required for this, is there are a bunch of Airbus A380s coming out of service because there's no use for them. And you could put 450 to 500 people in there and fly from L.A. to San Francisco in 55 minutes.
So
and not have to worry about...
There could be a little booming cottage industry there, huh?
Exactly, because all those double-decker Airbuses are going out of service. They've even Emirates, which has the most of them, I think they got 80 or something like that.
Yeah. And those are good planes, too. Those are good planes.
And for a shuttle service, if you remember, PSA got started flying from what? From San Diego to Oakland. And
exactly.
It was called Four Sailors Airlines.
Yeah.
But I would think that somebody with a little ambition and some cash, and if the government's really worried about getting high-speed transport between L.A. and San Francisco... You can imagine if you lived in the high-tone areas on the peninsula south of San Francisco, how you want a 200-mile-an-hour train going through your neighborhood. Not likely.
Dennis, I got to run, but thank you for the call. Enlightening. I appreciate it. I'm not cutting you off, but I got to get to news. But I can just see it now. Trump Air. Take a Trump Air bus between San Francisco and Los Angeles. $50 get you there in 55 minutes. Why not? But I mean, he's got a good point. He's got so many good points about why this whole high-speed rail thing is out of whack and should have never occurred. If you can think back that far, when this thing was, even before we voted on it, I didn't vote for it, but you voted on it, somebody voted on it, I kept saying, what about Tehachapi? Talk to me about Tehachapi. I want to know about Tehachapi. And that question is yet to be answered. So with that in mind, why don't we do some news and get some answers for something, all right? With KMJ News right now, here's Liz Kern.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Go free.
KMJNow.com.
Hello. If you're just joining us, we're talking a little bit about the California high-speed rail system that may not be high-speed after all. Can you believe that? A little bit more. Now, you do remember me telling you before the news that when the first leg starts, if indeed it ever does, between Merced and Bakersfield, that'll be the year 2029, and that will be when the project's costs have ballooned to just under $100 billion. That's a billion with a B. Okay? Now, high-speed rail officials and supporters are saying running anything less than an electrified train that goes real fast is against what you voted for. And it's not going to bring the clean air and energy bits, you know, that we were all sold on, weren't we? Not me. Quote, How does that show that you've made a good investment in the infrastructure if you continue to run the same equipment we're running today at relatively similar speeds? Yeah. That's the quote from the manager of the San Joaquin Regional Rail Commission. Yeah. Yeah. So that $4.2 billion in bond money officials are seeking, you know, is the last of the $10 billion of the fund that you voters created in 2008. $10 billion fund in 2008, you know. And it's going to cost $100 billion? Wow. And you can see, because that $4.2 billion is the last of the $10 billion, you've got some of the lawmakers up there extremely hesitant to start pecking away at that money if all of a sudden there's a debate about whether it should be high speed or not. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. There are individuals saying that, you know, we got to release $2.5 billion now and requiring the rail officials to come back for approval before they enter into a track and systems contract. And she wants, this individual that's proposing that, she wants more of the high-speed rail money down on her end of the world, though she didn't say how much. You know, for projects in the Los Angeles area that she represents, they're getting the wrong end of the stick on this. Because, again, most of the money of any workable part of high-speed rail is here in Central California. So I don't blame her for carping about that. I mean, that's the way it was supposed to be by the early vote. But now we come to this impasse about will it be high speed or not? You know, and it's a legitimate fundamental debate. It's unbelievable that we have evolved to that point in this whole thing. Years, years, and years after the deadline for completion. We've already spent, you know, $2.5 billion in federal money. We've received $3.7 billion from the California Auction Program for, you know, carbon pollution credits, known as cap and trade. And that program is set to end in 2030, by the way. Electrified or not, this project still is short tens of billions of dollars. That's one reason why rail officials, you know, are giving their version of credibility to building the project in pieces, you know, because they don't have the whole chunk of change. We don't have that much money, and we never have. So says Melissa Figueroa, who's a spokesman for the Rail Authority. That kind of sums it up right there and tells you where this is going to go. Nowhere. Nowhere. And then what about all of the infrastructure that's already built? I guess they're going to have to sell that off to someone else and Trump trains. We've got Trump Air after that phone call. Why not Trump trains? Oh, God. Oh, the UN is reporting North Korea is in a bad fix. How do you feel about that, you know? I mean, we have our supply chain issues here. But North Korea is facing a food crisis like they have never seen before. And it's left children and elderly people at big-time risk of starvation. 40% of the overall population is on the verge. You know, driving this news was a very prolonged, strict plan of attack, the measures implemented to curb the spread of COVID-19. That has worsened the conditions in this isolated Asian nation. I mean, they're much worse. And it's led to this severe economic hardship. You know, these are forceful measures, including a full-scale border shutdown, restricting imports of non-essential goods. And over 40% of the population was already food insecure. Now, that was before the pandemic, now a large majority of those people are suffering from malnutrition. Now, what they're saying, quote, the COVID-19 restrictions and government vigilance against the pandemic have helped avert a possible health crisis. Yay, look at us. Look what we've done. You're not going to get sick from the disease, but you're going to die of starvation. At the same time, the prolonged isolation and border closures have resulted in food and other health problems and a severe economic deprivation for many people across the country. Now, your opinion, if you have one, do we need to dump into this? Do we need to dump into this? And do something about it. In the way of food? Medicines? I know we have a really bad relationship with the leader of that country. And he's ultimately responsible for what they're going through. But, you know, I don't know if trying to help them bail out of this would endear them more to us or not. Would the Korean population of the North ever know that we, the Americans, are the individuals sending all of this goodwill to them? You know, I mean, there's a humanitarian need, too, but there's also a political need, obviously. You know, don't shoot us. Don't point your missiles this way because we got your grub. I have mixed feelings about this. You can tell by my hesitation. I don't know, you know, if we should get involved and how far if we do. And what do we have to share at this point when we're going through supply chain stuff here as well? Do we take care of America first or out of sympathy because that's how we are? Take care of North Korea? Split it up a little bit? I don't know. 490-5858. You, on your opinion of whether we should send food and meds to North Korea, 800-776-5858. I would be pleased if you called and gave me your opinion on that. All right? All right. Think about it for a couple of minutes during this break, and then on the other side of the break, hit me up with a phone call and give me your wisdom, babe. We'll be right back. This is KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton. Now.
Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
Well, not one call, or maybe one, maybe, on whether we should get involved with North Korea or not. That kind of tells me how you feel about them, you know. Silence is like, don't get involved, maybe? Maybe? Coming up, I got this Katie Couric story that you have to hear. This is unbelievable. Now, she says, I got caught editing. I was trying to protect Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Protect her. I mean, I don't think anybody even believes that, even a Katie Couric fan. Also, we have this judge in the Washington riot case who keeps giving sentences that are much more you know, draconian, much heavier than the prosecution is asking for, from the January 6th routine. And this is creating a problem within a problem. When you look at all of the cities that burned last summer, the summer before, the murders that took place in those cities, the deaths, the loss of businesses, as I said earlier, and I like what I said. It made sense, and a lot of you agreed with me online. Washington may be a very sacred place. The Capitol is indeed a very sacred place, but so is that business that's owned by, you know, that American family of color that burnt down to the ground, that has not been replaced yet, that's not been rebuilt. That's every bit as sacred as the Capitol in Washington. Now, those people who did that to those people back there, Minneapolis, Chicago, Portland, Seattle, what kind of penalties are they looking at? How many have been prosecuted? What about the unsolved deaths? You know, only two of those have ever made their way to court out of the, 36 cumulatively that happened? I mean, come on. So there's a lot of the old unlevel playing field happening throughout the issues in this country. It's no secret that people used to really enjoy themselves, even going back 2,700 years, okay? For example, if they were working in the salt mines in Austria, working in the salt mines, sounds horrible, huh? And they were up to 3,000 years ago. In fact, in that city, Hallstatt, Austria, in the Austrian Alps, that mine is still producing salt. So, a discovery of a batch of workers was made in one of the salt mines, going back 2,700 years. Now, these scientists decided to figure out, what did they eat? How did they enjoy themselves? Before I tell you that, I'm going to take the one call that I've got on North Korea. And that's Bruce Bruce, hello there. What do you think we should do? Anything?
Hello.
Hi.
You hear me good?
Yeah.
Intrigued by that because, simply put, America shows up to help people in Haiti, typhoons, hurricanes, volcanoes. How come North Korea, who's a puppet of the hand of China, connected to them, and they're Russia and China, how come Russia and China don't step in and give them some help?
Well, why would in this particular case, with North Korea being an ally, a strong ally of both, I'm betting that China and Russia will. Now, there presents kind of a political problem, is do we allow them to look like the good guys, or should we continue to be the good guys?
You look at the behaviors, they're not...
Bruce, you're breaking up. Thanks for the call. Not going to be able to accommodate you. That's what happens sometimes in the cell phone industry. You know, it just gets kind of crappy. Chad, talk to me.
Good morning.
Hey there.
Yeah, thinking about that Korean situation, you know, your heart goes out to those people that are starving. This has got to be one of the worst situations in the entire world as far as human suffering goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, history shows that any time that we try to help out a country by going through the government, that the local governments mess it up. They're corrupt. They take everything for themselves.
Yep.
They do a terrible job of distribution and stuff. And I don't know how it would come about, but if there was some way that somehow through political means we could get the government over there to just allow the aid organizations like World Vision and Feed the Hungry to go in there with truckloads of stuff, if packets clearly marked from Christians, a gift from Christians in America, something like that, that, mm-hmm. you know, emphasizes the faith, but also emphasizes that this American people that are behind it, and get those out to the people. They would be reading those packets. They'd know where it came from, and it would build us some real goodwill among the people of the country. I don't know how that could be done, but I'm thinking there's been ways before. I know that there's been organizations that have been able to. Right now, we've got a few organizations still in Afghanistan working to get the people out. These are small groups of people representing different organizations, private organizations, that are still working to get people out of Afghanistan and to rescue those canine dogs that were left behind and that kind of thing. Somehow that can somehow be done. If that could be done. And then I've got a totally fantastic idea.
I've got about 30 seconds. Go for it.
Okay. If we could just... fly a bunch of our biggest bombers over there and drop MRE packets, just broadcast them across the country and let the people pick it up and realize this is a gift from America.
Amen.
That way we would do some help and we wouldn't involve that outrageous government who can't be worked with anyway. And still we'd be doing something. It'd be a drop in the bucket, but it would be something. And I would love to see us able to do something.
Chad, we got to run. Thank you. I got to let you go. I'm up against the clock. I can think of a number of times where independent efforts of food and medicine have been executed, but mainly in third world countries that don't have an air force to shoot us down, mostly African countries. I recall George Harrison's big concert for Bangladesh, even the starving there, well, that was done without any government help, and that too went, you know, the way of the volunteer effort, even though ultimately near the end, the government was able to get its hands on a lot of that stuff and stole it. But yeah, why go through the government in North Korea? He raises a great point, one that I'm troubled about. When you know that Kim Jong-un is going to take 75% of that for himself, his own greed. So then what? Yeah, that's the question mark. When we come back, we're going to still have this conversation about these workers in the salt mine from 2,700 years ago. Then I'm going to tell you about Katie Couric. Oh, my God. I'm just protecting Justice Ginsburg. Yeah, right. That, almost said something I shouldn't have. I'll be right back. This is KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.